Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Please join me in saying the Anabapoa.
Okay, let me mute.
Anabapoa, Gedula Chimincha. Tati Serura Alfekimo Yutat Sadi Kabil Rinat Amcha Sagveno Taharenu Nora Ufreshayan Sintet Nun Nagibor Dorshehuncha Kivava Shamre Nun Gimogalit Yutkashin Barhem Taharen Rahame Sikata Tamid Gamlein Betet Resh Tzadikaf Gimel Tassin Kadosh Biro Tuha Nael Adata Hekufet Tet Nunayim Yahid Gea Lamha Pene Zokre Kidushata Yud Gimelamed He Zayin Kuf. The letters of the month of Sivan, the Resh created the planet Kohav, the planet Mercury, and the Zion that created the constellation Teumim, the astrological sign of Gemini. Together, the Resh and the Zion have a gematria of 207, and they have the meaning of the word secret in Hebrew. 207 connects to the En Sof, which also has a gematria of 207. It has the meaning of Adon Olam, Master of the Universe. Shavatenu Kabel Ushmatzi Akatenu Yodea Talumot Shinkufav Zadiyutta. We have brought the energy of creation into space, and we will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of that creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei Adonai Yohei Wahei El Rachum Vechanun Erech Apayim Verach Notetested La'alafim Noseah Won Wafesha Vechata'a Vinake. We're now going to connect to the energy of certainty through a pasuk from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. It is from Parasha Yitro, it's pasuk 29, and I'll start out with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud, Yichud Shabari Chud, Yimbei Bichilu, Urchimu, Urchilu. Udhilu urkinu liakta l'shem yudhe bavate v'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael limud Torah mitzvah la'asok Torah mitzvah v'yihi noam Adonai Eloheinu alenu ma'asei adenu k'nenei alenu ma'asei adenu k'nenehu Rabbi Abba Amar b'kama atar t'ane nan d'kud shah Perichu koma de aved, the elawitata, Kolaihu Kishot Vilvada Dikshot. Bele lach mila bialma divae barnash vedach yaleya mine yaulan haga beya kalana dehakulu ovada dikshot inun wikola exterif bialma. We're now connecting to the energy of the year 5778, which is bow to Hashem in order to walk with Hashem. There are two verses that connect to this energy. The first that we study is 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 6. Vayishkav Amnon vayichal vayavo hamelech liroto Vayomer Amnon El HaMelech Tavo Natamar Achoti Udlabev Le'ene Shete Levibot Vievre Miada. The second verse connecting to this energy is the Psalms chapter 32, verse 5. Concealed in this verse is the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Chet. The letters of this name are separated by three letters each. Chatati odiacha, wa'awoni lo kisiti, amarti ode ale peshai. La donai o he wa he, we ata nasata, awon khatati sela. We're now going to connect to the energy of the year 5777, known as the year of the goats, but also the year of the wake up. There are also two verses that connect to this energy. The first that we study is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52. Tzod saduni katsipor oyevai chinam. When we take the first letters of these words, we have tzatz ki ach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters, the last letters of these words, we have Dir Yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. The second verse that connects to this energy of the goat and the wake up is Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. Concealed in this verse is the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Zion, and the letters of this name are separated by seven letters each. Kim va'adonai yohewahe Elohehem tadevaku kasher asitem ad hayom hazeh. The year 5776 has the energy of the pause that refreshes. There are also two verses that connect to this energy. The first that we study is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim hayulimat. Willo yachlu lahashi et kol ha'olot vayahaskum achechem alevim ad kilot hamlacha yad yitkad shu hakohanim Ki halivim yishrei levav lehitkadesh meha kohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letters of these words, we're able to permute them into eight names of God. Adonai Yohe Wahe Lalahe Wawawa Yola Yo Alame Hey Aka Rekaha. The second verse we study for this energy of the pause is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bichu va Adonai Yohe Wahe Adead. Ki bi ayohe Adonaiohe wahe Sur olami. The year 5775 has the energy of peace in the Middle East. There are three verses that connect to this energy. The first that we study is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishe mimeni, lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. The second verse is 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru, uru, mikol hamachavo iyam, asher yichabe sham mushaltem elai el naho. Wehalakitem wechayim yeshno baretz vehipasti oto b'kol alfei Yehuda. And the third is from Job chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetza yoved roav yomru ayo. The year 5774 has the energy of peace in the Middle East. There is only one verse that connects to this energy. It's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wisamti makom leami leYisrael untati vushakan ta. We're now going to connect to the 72 names of God. We connect by saying the letters in sequence, utilizing their root vowels. Wahe wa yola yo sayote ala me he shi la la he aka aka he ta he zayo ala da la awa he he la yo zala me be he he re yo he ko me la awa ka la yo la wa wa pe he la. Nulacha yo yo yo, me la he 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 wa, nuta he he a a yo le ta shi a he, re yo yo a wa me, la ka be wa shi re, yo he wa la he he, ka wa ko me nu da, anu yo he a me, re he a yo yo za. Hey, 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 me yocha, wa wa la yo la he, sa a la a re yo, a shi la me yo he, wa he wa da nu yo, hey, hey, shi a me me, nu nu a nu yo ta, me be hey, pe wa yo, nu me me yo yo la, hey, re, hey, me tsa re, wa me be yo. Yo hey hey, anu wa me hey yo, ta me be me nu ko, ayo am hey be wa, re a hey yo be me, Hey, yo, yo, may, why, may. We're now going to connect to the 72 names from the Tzaddikim. We do this in the same manner. Wah, 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 yo, 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 sabbe, te, ame, me, be, shi, la, yo, hey, anu, kameta, hey, hey, yo, anu, da, la, hey, wa, me, me, yo, ta, la, me, re, hey, hey, yo, yo, hey, me, me, la, wa, wa, ka, be, yo, la, yo, wa, pe, nu, la, nu, me, ha, yo, hey, yo, me nu he 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 wa nu yo he he shi a yo re ta shi a he re la yo a wa me la yo be wa he re yo yo wa la he he ka a ko me nu da a nu yo he wa me re he a yo he za he shi he me ka ka wa wa la yo yo he sa ala re yo a ala me ta he wa he wa da la yo he yo shi ala me nu he a nu wa ta me la he pe a yo nu ko me yo re la he be he me za re wa he be yo a he ala wa me za yo da he be me ka ko ala a he he wa re la he yo yo me he la yo me he me. The names of the Tzaddikim who left this day, the 22nd day of Sivan. Rabbi Isamar Rosenbaum, Rabbi Rafael Shlomo Erdit, and Rabbi Eliyahu Bechor Chazan. In the 8th verse of the Anna Bekoach, we say in a whisper. Tonight's class is on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. It's in row 14, the second column from the left. When you click on the Ari Rabbi Isaac Luria's landing page, when it scrolls down, when it opens, scroll down to the Parasha of Shlach Lecha. And there are two items on that. We are going to start with the first item, which is timeout. And if we have time, which we probably will, we'll go to the second item as well, which is on the same web page. Does anybody have any questions before we begin? Kabbalah describes the severe punishment of being cut off from one's spiritual soulmate. As an unwritten commentary, it's written later on. The idea of cutoff is the Hebrew word karet. In this week's Torah reading, we are taught that someone who intentionally serves idols will be cut off from the Jewish people. Literally, the phrase describing this process reads as follows. And the soul that does this with an uplifted hand blasphemes Hashem, and that soul will be cut off from the midst of its people. For it has disgraced the word of Hashem and abrogated his mitzvot. That soul will be cut off. Yes, cut off, as long as its transgression is within it, in meaning it does not repent. The word for its transgression in this verse is Avonah in Hebrew, can also be read as a time period. In Hebrew, the word is Onah, essentially the same letters with different vowels. As in the phrase, he will not diminish her conjugal rights. The word Onah means a time period or a season, and is also used to mean conjugal rights or the frequency of marital relations. This means that if the soul in question had remained holy and not sinned, it would have joined together with its mate in paradise and thereby produced the soul of converts, as is mentioned in the Zohar and is also explained in more detail in the advanced reincarnation classes based on the writings of the Ari. The marital union of soulmates is always fertile. If it does not produce physical offspring, it produces good metaphysical energy that spreads throughout the world. Sometimes this offspring takes the form of souls that eventually convert to Judaism. In the spiritual afterlife, also soulmates unite in marital union after midnight. This produces souls of converts. My commentary. In our advanced reincarnation study of over 200 hours of recordings based on the Sefer Sha'arei HaGilgulim, we learn about the concept of soulmates, the concept of the soul of converts. These souls of converts are a necessary part of the system of Gilgulim, reincarnation. This is an act of mercy by Hashem, providing a method of easier tikkun to souls that are or were unable to make their complete tikkun in one lifetime. It is important to note that the good metaphysical energy that spreads throughout the world is called Shefa. Shefa is the energy that is the goodness of Hashem. Souls of converts are also produced by Torah study. And Torah study is a central occupation of the soul in paradise. But this soul, which performs such a serious sin that it becomes liable to the punishment of excision, is cut off from its mate. Thus, what should have been the conjugal act, the ona, becomes a transgression, the avon, and sin, and it is cut off from its mate. I am adding, excision means to be cut off. Excision is the translation of the Hebrew word karet. Karet in Hebrew is spelled kaf resh yud tav. The Kabbalah teaches that the tikkun, the correction of karet, is to study Kabbalah from midnight to the moment of preparing for a next prayer. This action removes one decree of karet for the soul involved. Netz is a Hebrew term that is related to starting the morning Amidah at the moment the light of the sun appears over the horizon. The sense of the verse quoted above thus becomes, that soul will be cut off from its mate. Its transgression prevents the coupling with its mate from taking place. This is one type of excision. This type of excision is sometimes given to a person who has not tried to have children, as mentioned in the Zohar. When the Torah uses the expression, he shall be cut off. The punishment referred to is called excision. This may take a number of forms. Although not marrying and trying to have children is not one of the sins of Torah, applies the punishment of excision to. It is stated in the Zohar that someone who did not try to have children in this world is sometimes punished by not being allowed to couple with his soulmate in the afterlife either. That is the end of this first section called Time Out. Does anyone have any questions? The next section, discussing souls of spies and princes. Joseph's brothers were reincarnated as the spies sent into Israel. The portion of the Torah we read this week opens with the story of the princes of each tribe who were sent to spy out the land of Israel before the Jewish people entered it. Joseph said to them, "You are spies." Commenting on the verse, "And Joseph said to them, you are spies," our sages said that Joseph was hinting to his brothers that they would be reincarnated and spy out the land of Israel, but that Joshua, the prince of the tribe of Ephraim, the son of Joseph, would not be a reincarnated spy. The patriarch Jacob had 12 sons, each of which became the progenitor of one of the 12 tribes of Israel. When Joseph told his brothers, "You are spies," he was in effect telling them that all 11 of them, including his brother Levi, would be reincarnated as the spies who spied out the land. The Arizal will explain how this worked, seeing that no spy was sent from the tribe of Levi. Based on this, we will be able to understand this passage very well. Let us first note that when the Torah refers to the princes of Israel in an earlier passage, they are called the heads of the thousands of Israel. Whereas in this passage about the spies, they are called the heads of the children of Israel. The reason for this discrepancy is as follows. When God foresaw that these princes would sin, and that Moses wished to send them, he devised a way to fortify them, minimizing and rectifying somewhat the evil they would do. He therefore decreed that the souls of the actual sons of Jacob, the brothers of Joseph, who were literally the children of Israel, would be infused into the souls of these spies, so that their holiness would help them not to sin completely. Nevertheless, this did not help them. Jacob was also known as Israel. So the phrase, "the children of Israel," while usually denoting the Jewish people as a whole, may also be literally understood to mean the sons of Jacob. The infusion of the souls of the sons of Jacob above is the example of ibur, literally impregnation, a specific type of reincarnation in which the soul being reincarnated does not become the full and only soul of the body into which it is incarnated, but is rather grafted onto the soul already present. The result is that the soul of the individual retains its intrinsic consciousness and identity, but its powers are augmented by those of the impregnated soul that it is hosting. This is the mystical meaning of the verse. They were all men. The heads of the children of Israel were they. They themselves were the progenitors of the tribes, who were in fact the heads of the Jewish people. Having a little trouble with scrolling. This is the mystical meaning of the verse. They were all men. The heads of the children of Israel were they. They themselves were the progenitors of the tribes, who were in fact the heads of the Jewish people. The word head also may mean beginning. This is also the mystical meaning of the verse, send for yourself men who will spy out the land of Canaan, that I am giving to the children of Israel. The verb am giving is in the present tense, meaning these men whom you are now sending to spy out the land that I am giving now to the children of Israel are themselves the progenitors of the tribes who are called the sons of Israel. I will give it to them in the merit of this expedition if they deserve it. The soul of Joseph was impregnated into the spy of the tribe of Manasseh. Now the 11 souls of the progenitors of the tribes, besides Joseph, were infused into the 11 spies. Since the tribe of Levi did not have any portion in the land, they did not need to send a spy. The tribe of Levi was not meant to make their living by farming or pasturing the land. Their job was to serve as priests and Levites in the temple and teach the Torah to the rest of the people. They lived off their sacrificial dues in the temple, the various produce tithes, and so forth, which the other tribes were required to give them. They lived in special cities that were set aside for them, which were surrounded by parks, but they possessed no agricultural territory. Thus, since they were not interested in the land per se, no representative of their tribe was sent to spy out the land of Israel. In its place, the tribe of Joseph was divided into two, Manasseh and Ephraim. Manasseh and Ephraim were the two sons of Joseph. Before his death, Jacob made these two sons progenitors of tribes in order to keep the number of tribes 12. In the cases when the tribe of Levi would not be counted. The soul of Joseph was impregnated into the spy of the tribe of Manasseh. It is therefore written of the tribe of Joseph of the tribe of Manasseh. Enlisting the princes of the tribes who were sent as spies, the idiom used in each case is of the tribe of X, so-and-so. Here, the name of the tribe Manasseh is preceded by the phrase of the tribe of Joseph. The tribe of Ephraim is mentioned earlier, so the phrase of the tribe of Joseph cannot be considered an introductory phrase that covers both tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh. The phenomenon the Arizal tells us, therefore, hints to the fact that the soul of Joseph was impregnated specifically into the prince of Manasseh. Even though in all cases Ephraim takes precedent over Manasseh, Joseph was nonetheless associated with Manasseh in order to indicate what we have said. When Jacob split Joseph into two tribes, he made a point of giving Ephraim precedence over Manasseh, even though Manasseh was the firstborn. Thus, Joseph was left as the spy of the tribe of Ephraim, without the impregnation of its progenitor of any tribe. Moses was therefore afraid to send him, lest he sin. Therefore, Moshe called Hoshea ben Nun Joshua. Joshua's given name was Hoshea, but Moses changed it to Joshua at this time. In Hebrew, the sole difference between the consonantal spelling of these two names is the addition of the letter Yud to Hoshea, making it Yehoshua. He did this, as our sages say, praying for him. May God spare you from the scheme of the spies. The name Hoshea means salvation. The addition of the letter Yud to the name Hoshea makes the word begin with the two-letter name of God, Yah, Yod-Heh. The name Joshua may thus be interpreted to mean, may God save. Moses thereby drew into Joshua the soul of Levi. The mystical meaning of calling him this new name is that Moses thereby drew into Joshua the soul of Levi, the son of Jacob, whose soul had not been impregnated into the prince of his tribe. As we mentioned, it was specifically Moses who was able to do this. For he, as the head of the tribe of Levi, should have gone on this mission and been the spy for the tribe of Levi. Instead, he sent Joshua, his student, in his place. For one student is considered the same as his son, as is known. Thus the soul of Levi, which should have been impregnated into Moses, became impregnated into Joshua. We can now better understand a difference in the expression that occurs in this passage. First, God says, "Send for yourself," addressing Moses in the singular. Later in the same verse, he says, "Send one man from each of their ancestral tribes," addressing him in the plural. In English, there is no difference between the singular and the plural imperative, or single and plural second person future. In archaic English, there is "send you" and "send ye," and "you will send," and "ye will send," but there is no such distinction in modern English. But in Hebrew, the first "send" in this verse is the singular, shlach, while the second "send," tishlachu, is in the plural. Furthermore, the expression "for yourself" seems to be superfluous. In truth, however, these inconsistencies allude to what we have said. God at first was referring to the greatest of all the emissaries, that of the tribe of Levi. Moses, he said to him, send for yourself. Since you yourself are not going, send someone else in your place. In reference to the rest of the tribes, however, Hashem addressed Moses in the plural. In sending out the other spies, Moses was acting on behalf of and as the representative of the whole Jewish people. He therefore referred to in the plural. He is therefore referred to in the plural. Even an individual's own soul withdraws from him when he sins. Moses then sent Joshua in his place and drew into him the soul of Levi, as we said. Now, while the spies scouted out the land, they plotted an evil scheme, that is to denigrate the land. Therefore, the souls of the progenitors of the tribes that had been impregnated into them departed from them. As is known, a soul that attaches itself to a person via reincarnation, Gilgul, does not depart from him until he dies. But one that enters into a person via impregnation, via Ibur, withdraws from him when he sins. It says, withdraw now from above the tents of those wicked people. As a matter of fact, even an individual's own soul withdraws from him when he sins. This is the mystical meaning of our sages' statement that the wicked, even in their lifetimes, are called dead. This is alluded to in the verse, and they went and they came to Moses and Aaron. The words "and they went" seem to refer to the spies' expedition into the land of Israel. But we have already been told in the preceding verse that they returned from scouting out the land. So why does the narrative mention again their going? Now that they have already come back, the verse should have simply stated, "and they came to Moses." The answer is that the phrase, "and they went," refers to the departure of those impregnated souls, and the next phrase, "and they came," refers again to the spies themselves. When they came to Moses, the impregnated souls had already departed from them. These spies were then punished and died. But we are told Joshua and Caleb remained alive from these men. Now, the word "remained alive" does not seem to be appropriate here. The reason why it is nonetheless used to indicate that the case of these two, their impregnated souls did not depart from them. These were the souls of Judah in Caleb and Levi in Joshua. Since Joshua and Caleb did not participate in the sin of the spies, they did not denigrate the land of Israel and discourage the people from entering it, there was no reason for their impregnated souls to depart from them. They therefore possessed an extra measure of life force. Thus the expression of "for lived" is used in reference to them rather than "survived." The other spies, however, died as soon as they came to Moses, inasmuch as their impregnated souls departed from them. For the wicked, even in their lifetime, are considered dead, as above. This is why the narrative contrasts Joshua and Caleb with them, saying, "From among these men which appears superfluous. This also alludes to the verse, and my servant Caleb, since there was a different spirit with him. This refers to the fact that the other spies, there was a different spirit of the impregnated souls of the progenitors of the tribes in them. They did not remain loyal to me, and therefore departed from their respective descendants. The phrase, remained loyal to me, is from the verse just quoted describing Caleb, and literally means fulfilled after me. The Arizal is thus saying that the impregnated souls of the sons of Jacob did not complete the tasks for which they were impregnated. This was not their fault, of course. So no blame is intended to be imputed to them. Caleb prostrated himself in prayer on the graves of the forefathers in Hebron. With regard to Caleb, however, there was from the outset a different spirit of the impregnated soul of Judah with him. And he therefore did not sin. He therefore remained loyal to me and stayed as loyal at the end as he was at the beginning. The reason these two, Joshua and Caleb, had a different spirit with them was because in the case of Joshua, Moses' prayer was effective, as was the permanent name change. Caleb's own prayer was effective, for we are taught that he prostrated himself in prayer on the graves of the forefathers in Hebron. He therefore did not sin with regard to the other spies' evil scheme. We have explained elsewhere that Caleb was a reincarnation of Eliezer, the servant of Abraham. This would add significance to the fact that he went to pray at the graves of the forefathers. Although Eliezer hailed from a cursed seed, when Laban said to him, "Come in, O blessed one of God," he went out of the category of the cursed and entered the category of the blessed. Eliezer was a Canaanite, a descendant of Canaan, whose seed Noah cursed to be a servant caste. It appears to me, Chaim Vital, that this is alluded to in the verse, and my servant Caleb, meaning that he was originally a Canaanite servant, i.e. cursed, but was now my servant, blessed. My commentary. It would be good to learn as to why the 10 tribal progenitor souls were not successful. In my opinion, the reason is the Torah avoids embarrassing people, including souls. That's the end of the class. Does anyone have a question? Tomorrow we will have classes at 4:30, where we will go. It's a deep Zohar class on the Parsha of Noah, and we will start section 41. And at 7:00, we will have a Tikkuni Zohar class. Since there aren't any questions right now, I just wish you all shalom, a beautiful week, Shavuot Tov, shalom to all.
Shalom, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Shalom. Shalom all.